This is Pure Decking for Thursday. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like how everyone seems to be living via their smartphone, living vicariously via their smartphone, if I read my own damn script, information security, and the fact that I'm probably going to be building a new broadcast box this weekend, because I think this one is on its last legs. I'm Morps. I am drinking Eagle Rare. And tonight, Viv, are you? What are you drinking?
Nothing, as of doctor's orders.
Oh, that sucks. BSV! I forgot to load the dramatic squirrel, and I forgot to get a thunderclap. I need to get a thunderclap sound effect onto the soundboard. That'd be perfect for him.
I'm just wondering what you're loading the squirrel into.
I've got it in the sard cannon.
No, sard!
And after that, we're giving it over to Swab for his particular
smoke
training
weed
program.
Every day.
I actually have a very large glass of bourbon sitting in front of me. With a very
okay, what
small
kind of bourbon?
Ice. Knob Creek? Knob Hill?
That works. That's
the one with the knob
one.
On it.
Yeah, no, wait. Are you talking about that training thing off Amazon for circumcisions, like super glued to the front of a bottle? Because if so, what the fuck, man?
Okay, I reckon next meetup, we just drink bourbon and shit out of sippy cups.
you wound me, sir.
Dude, that's like my daily thing. That's how I get to work every day.
Bourbon and a sippy cup.
Sippy cup on the dashboard.
Well, I don't want to spill it all over the place.
I was going to say, it's better than the crazy straw experiment. Every time you run around the corner, shit went everywhere.
Oh, well, it's like, you know, Madman has the nipple shot glass that actually has a hole in the appropriate place, so that damn thing leaks. Funny as hell, he would fill it up and it would make a mess.
Waste of booze.
Yeah, it was. Certainly was. Countertop got really clean, though, when you spill vodka on it and you have to wipe it up, so. Anyways. I forget. I had jokes. No, I don't know what I'm doing. Lead story. First thing tonight. Pretty sure Psychro sent me this one on the Reddit messaging. And this is kind of a no-duh, but the headline is Facebook and Twitter harm young people's mental health. So, yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you did send me this one, Psychro. You're right. Four of the five most popular forms of social media. You know what? I forgot. I'm announcing this on the streams now, trying to get more people in the chat room. 9 o'clock Central on Thursdays. That's when we try to do this. We usually start. I aim for 9 o'clock. We usually start somewhere between 9:05 and 9:10 because we're terrible, terrible people. So if you're getting this off. Trinary Bit usually posts it on the subreddit, or if you got the RSS feed up and you're not, doing something more interesting on Thursday nights, hop in the chat room. I try to keep an eye on it during the show. So, or, don't, whatever. Anyways, four of the five most popular forms of social media harm young people's mental health, with Instagram being the most damaging, according to research by two health organizations. I'm wondering how they rated this. Well, Instagram was caught knifing hobos in the background.
Wouldn't surprise me on YouTube Live.
Yeah, no shit. Or Facebook Live, where it's like, what are you doing? Strangling a hooker. Son of a bitch. Instagram has the most negative impact on young people's mental well-being, a survey of almost 1,500 14 to 24-year-olds found. And the health groups accused it of deepening young people's feelings of inadequacy and anxiety. Let's see. The survey, published on Friday, concluded that Snapchat, Facebook, and Twitter are also harmful. Among the five, only YouTube was judged to have a positive impact. Oh, shit. YouTube having a positive impact. Yeah, actually, Swap, that's perfect. That is absolutely perfect right there. That's going in the chat room. There we go. Yeah, that fits. So, let's see. The four platforms have a negative effect because they can exasperate children and young people's body image worries and worsen bullying. Deal with it. Sleep problems and feelings of anxiety, depression, and loneliness, the participant said. Okay, you know what? There is a solution for bullying. I'm going to talk about this right now because this shit drives me up the wall. And it's very simple. If somebody's bullying you, punch them in the face.
Yes.
One of two things are going to happen.
Violence is the solution.
It is.
Sorry to say, but it is.
Okay, now, I know everybody hates this, but listen, seriously. If you are being bullied and you nail that fucker in the face, one of two things is going to happen. Either one, they're going to decide you're not worth the trouble and they're going to leave you alone, or they're going to, you know, call you crazy and, you know, not want to deal with the crazy person, and again, they'll probably leave you alone. Or two, you're going to get your ass stomped. Especially if you're, like, you know, a little scrawny guy and you don't have that crazy thing going on, a crazy scrappy thing going on, you might get your ass stomped. But you know what?
Oh, yeah.
They'll probably still leave you alone, or at least respect you a little bit more for it. Mm-hmm. And if they're going to stomp your ass, fight back. Make them work for it.
And it's not even a respect issue, man. It's just like bullies. Fucking, they want the easy target. If you make it so you are not the easy target, then they will find somebody else to pick on.
Now, obviously, I'm mostly talking about when you're in school, because I know schools have zero tolerance policy. You know, if you're talking about being bullied at work, well, you're old enough to have access to firearms. Solve the problem. I'm kidding. Just solve the problem. You know, you're old enough to get creative.
Work is a totally different can of worms, and things get complex really.
But I mean, if you're dealing with adult bullying, you've got other issues at this point.
Yeah,
and remember, when you're Googling explosives, do it from other people's houses, not your
That's
own.
What Tor is for. Oh, Psycho Squid! I guess that was too much for him.
Oh, he's going to Google explosives. He's having problems at work.
But that's what your other coworkers' computers are for.
No, especially if they don't. That's a good thought, BSV. Instead of hassle hopping them, or going in there and setting their wallpaper to My Little Pony, or setting their sounds to be the Windows Sex Sound sound pack. Use the machine to look up firearms and explosives.
Just start Googling how to get to Syria, how to join ISIS. Goat sex for beginners.
Like we always say, get them up on that cliff so you get that pushback.
That's sheep, man. Come on.
Oh. Is it? I thought the joke was goats.
No, it's sheep.
Oh, okay. Well, fine. Sheep. Whatever.
Also, put their hind legs in your upper boots. Works real well.
You have thought about this. So like I said, when you get creative, you know, there are ways to deal with it when you're an adult that you just don't have access to when you're in school. So, seriously, if you're getting bullied, you know, just make them work for it. They'll probably leave you alone. And if you're getting bullied on social media, oh, for God's sake, block them. Oh, you see this shit on the news. They're like, oh, there's a new wave of anti-Semitism. Where? On Twitter. No, the fuck what? Block them.
Fuck,
it's
12-year-olds
on the internet. Who cares?
So I came up with a new game this week, Morps.
Oh, yeah?
It's probably not new. Other people have probably done it. But go around on Twitter and look for like three or more girls out on a night on town, you know, taking photos and shit like that of each other. When they've done a group shot and there's four of them, just type in your response as, you three look awesome and sexy tonight, and then just wait for it to explode.
Oh, that's better than what I thought you were going to say, which was Photoshop yourself into it and tweet them back. But
you know, like, ooh, back to the story here, you know, like, it's really just like, I can totally understand why social media causes people all kinds of problems, because, like, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side, and, you know, like, people on social media, they selectively pick and choose what they say and show, so they always show this, like, pristine and awesome, exciting thing. They always, like, inflate things to seem like they're more awesome than they actually are, and, like, somebody who's got, like, a shitty life or just a fucking regular life, because, yeah, regular use kind of shitty for most people. Like, you go and see this, and you get this picture in your head that, like, oh, look at all these normal people who have these awesome things and aren't, like, full of, like, all this
anxiety.
All
my friends from high school are hang gliding in Brazil and banging supermodels, and I'm sitting here eating Cheetos in front of Netflix. What the fuck, man? Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, but your bank balance is in the positive and theirs is fucking in the negative.
Yeah, like, and like, you don't know what's going on in their life. Like, you don't know what's, like, nobody ever tells anybody about, like, posts about their negative shit. Or, like, yeah, so it's, you just see the positive and you think that that's what everybody has. And, yeah, it gives you this warped sense of reality.
Well, there's two kinds of social medias, man. There are those who are, like, hang gliding, like you said, banging supermodels, and then there's the dude who's constantly in hospital dying of something. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's never that middle ground of, there's never that one dude like, hey, sitting home scratching my balls playing fucking Pokemon.
No, that's Tumblr. That's where you get the really awkward Tumblr posts of the fat guy in the anime costume. I don't know. Playing around with shit in the toilet or something. I don't even really know anymore. Wow, I quit going to Tumblr in action.
That got dark real quick, Mops. Real quick.
I told you, it's been a weird day. It's been a weird day.
I'm going back.
Guy in a Pikachu outfit, fit, hanging out in the bathroom, poking a turd with a stick. I can picture it, man.
Do the Googles.
Somebody sitting there bored, you know. God. I sprinkled the bacon bits in the toilet. Why didn't it come to life? That's called mental illness, kids. Anyways, I mean, you think about it though, especially because this thing was this was, you know, 14 to 24 year olds, right? So not only is this, you know, the warped sense of reality you get off Facebook and Twitter and all that, it's people who don't know what reality is, so they don't have any way to judge and realize that half of it's bullshit. That their friends are not really banging supermodels, they just happen to know how to work fucking Photoshop. Or, you know, they're doing the whole, what's it, Reddit karma thing, where they find some photo that was posted 3 years ago and say, look what my friend drew, or, you know, some bullshit like that.
Hey, Major, I got this one for you. The previous statement.
It's on DeviantArt. I'm not clicking that link. I'm not clicking that link either.
I also found one. Okay, these are going in the chat too.
Oh, for God's sake.
What was
Psychos,
the show about?
Don't click it. They're Googling weird shit. All right. Where were we in the story? The findings follow growing concerns among politicians, health bodies, doctors, charities, and parents. Psychos, you clicked the link, didn't it? You click the link. What did we say? Don't click the fucking link. It's...
Well, when you tell somebody not to click something, what do?
They, well, you know, it's the same thing at work. Don't click the fucking link in the email. Well, I clicked it. Now what? Now we get to format your computer.
With fire.
Yeah, fire hot. Where was I? The feelings fall and growing concerns, blah, 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 blah. Charities and parents about young people suffering harm as a result of sexting, cyberbullying, and social media, reinforcing feelings of self-loathing, and even the risk of them committing suicide. I really need that thunderclap. Damn it. I need to get a thunderclap and put it on the soundboard right now. Suave, talk about this for a minute while I Google this.
I find it interesting that YouTube scored very badly on sleep. And you know what? That's so fucking true. I don't know about you guys, but I'll go to bed and I'll end up throwing something on YouTube on my phone and then wake up in the morning late for work because my battery died while YouTube videos were playing in my sleep. I'm sure that's not good for my sleep or just my general mental health. Fuck it.
I'm just thinking.
Like, and who knows what's been playing? Because I'll run across some like random videos that like are just totally bizarre. And it says you've watched this. I'm like, I don't remember watching this. So that stuff's like droning in my mind when I'm asleep.
Don't. I was gonna say autoplay.
You want some subliminal shit going on while you're asleep? That's how you get subliminal shit going on in your sleep, man.
And not only that, but it's like random subliminal shit. So, like, who knows? Who knows what's happening?
Today we're going to show you how to make 13 liters of drinkable booze out of kitty litter.
Fucking sleep brewing, man.
Well, that won't be too bad. Go to sleep, wake up. Why is there a keg in my house?
Who ordered the 55-gallon drum of lube?
I woke up with a bus stop in my front yard once. True story. The whole fucking concrete seat, the sign, the whole lot.
Well, did somebody build it, I'm assuming?
No, me and a buddy, we...
You probably shouldn't talk about it.
Long story short, we had this crazy idea that it would be a lot easier to get home when we're drunk if the bus stopped out in front of our place. So yep. We decided we'd get drunk and move the bus stop.
You know that's not how buses work.
Well, you know that's not how buses work, but it's how you get the police to come.
Well, we know that now.
But I didn't want a police officer, I wanted a bus.
Hey, but you probably got a free ride out of it, right?
No, we just feigned. We had no idea. The fucking damn kids.
Fucking kids.
It goes on. It talks about YouTube, you know, messing with sleep, but other than that, not really screwing with your mental health nearly as badly.
Like I feel like with YouTube, it's more like what you're picking, like what you're choosing to watch. Like that's.
I could see people.
I'm sure it could cause issues for some people, but I feel like the majority of people just like watch stuff related to their interests.
I think we don't really have a leg to stand on when it comes to talking about this because we all passed the age of 18 before YouTube even came about. You know, most of us grew up without cable television, let alone having a TV in our own room, let alone
a
computer in our own
kids
room.
Kids growing up on the internet, what have we done?
No,
it's kind of scary because they're all just like starting to get to be adults now. And
Major, I know when I was like younger, I'd have the radio on as I fell asleep. Generally listening to some music. And before I went to bed, I was generally drawing or painting or something like that. There was no video games or YouTube or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And even that was a fair bit of stimulus before I went to sleep. So I couldn't imagine being sucked into like 10 hours of a Let's Play or something like that. Or having access to Steam as a 17 or 16-year-old on a Friday night, rather play whatever... I don't know, what's that one everyone's playing at the moment? You kill people on an island?
Minecraft?
No. Minecraft was bad enough.
The Hans Brivik Simulator?
The Player Unknown.
Yeah. Fuck, don't do that. Go out and bang chicks. Trust me, it's a lot more fun.
You know, and you think about it too, how many kids are probably keeping iPads just, you know, on the nightstand next to the bed?
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, nobody plays Overwatch, man. That's for 13-year-olds.
I think we're probably starting to get a little bit old, too, because, like, I remember, you know, back in the day when, the early internet days, it didn't really seem to be quite as full of, like, shit.
It wasn't.
The internet was, like, a more pure place, like I guess people who were there were just less troll like. I don't know, man.
No.
But is this just like the rose colored glasses with the
no? I think
some, But
when we first started getting on the internet, you knew what you're in for, unfettered. Like,
and, but there and was also there was a level of skill involved.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Yeah, it took a little bit to do. And Psychros brings up a good point. It depends what parts of the internet you're on. And me, myself, we didn't really have ISPs and stuff when I first got on. So we actually had to know the phone number to dial up. And you had to try and pick a local one because you didn't want to get charges on the phone.
So yeah.
Mainly it was Star Wars and local bulletin boards in Brisbane. That was it.
Oh, Q-Link. Yeah, getting a C64 online now, that took some skill. Actually, that was later. There was a little bit of it, but I don't know. I think you're right about parts of it, but like, I remember when you used to get on voice, you know, you used to get on Team Fortress 2 and, you know, early games with voice chat. And I mean, you never would see like some 8-year-old screaming into the mic Xbox style. Nowadays, you try to go into any of the popular free Steam games, and it's just full of little kids screaming down the microphones.
Yeah. So, and, you know, like, I remember, like, back in the day with, like, when they first came out with, like, Xbox Live.
Like, my parents wouldn't let me get on, you know, do shit like that when I'm on my own.
Playing Halo and stuff, and, like, back then, like, there wasn't, like, yeah, you'd run into the occasional screaming kid for sure, but, like, you know, it just really seemed like there was more of a, like, a community atmosphere. Like, people would, like, hang out, and, like, they'd start, like, glitch servers, for example, where they'd figure out how to, like, get outside of the map bounds and stuff. And, like, there was, like, this, you know, social order where, like, you know, these matches, nobody would, like, come in and kill everybody. And it was true. It actually worked. And, like, people all respected the rules that people made up. And it was...
Oh, sure.
It was the and if, golden you know, age of online gaming.
And a lot of times when you did have like a little kid or something show up, people would actually be cool with them and try to help them learn the game and stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, the little kid was just trying to play. And
yeah, I was like, get the fuck out, noob.
Yeah, I mean, I've logged into servers, heard kids on the voice chat and just left. I mean, it's just like, no, fuck this. So, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
You can't beat an old man gaming server. Where you've got to be over the age of 35.
Need to start setting up some permanent VPN networks. So it's like, all right, you know, did you pass the test? Okay, you're in.
There's on Battlefield 2, Bad Company, there's a server that goes up every now and then called Old Man Gamers. And pretty much you have to get on and they ask you questions before you get in. It's pretty cool.
Who was like president when you were born? Clinton, yeah. Get out.
Well, if you start acting like a dick, you get kicked.
Yeah. Well, that used to be the case in a lot of these servers. Who is Mr. T? I pity the fool who doesn't know who Mr. T is.
Mr. T was played by Gary Coleman. For God's sake, people.
Oh, shit. All right. Let's go on here to the next story. This one came from... are you? You sent me this one, I think. The pacemaker one?
Yeah, that's from BBC.
Yeah. Thousands of known bugs found in pacemaker code. Well, it's an embedded device. What'd you expect? Literally embedded. One study... but do I have...
And as our data clearly shows, humans cannot be trusted.
Close enough. All right. One study on pacemakers found more than 8,000 known vulnerabilities in the code inside the cardiac devices. Other studies of the broader device market found only 17% of manufacturers had taken steps to secure gadgets. The reports come after more than 60 health organizations in the UK fell victim to a cyber attack. They're talking about WannaCry. Urgent need. The report on pacemakers looked at a range of implantable devices from 4 manufacturers, as well as the ecosystem of other equipment used to monitor and manage them. Researcher Billy Rios and Dr. Jonathan Butts from security company Whitescope said that their study showed the serious challenges pacemaker manufacturers faced in trying to keep the devices patched and free from bugs that attackers could exploit. They found that a few of the manufacturers encrypted or otherwise protected data on the device when it was being transferred to monitoring systems. Also, none were protected with the most basic, none were protected with the most basic logon name and password systems, or check that the devices they connected to were authentic. So, pretty much, oh, are we losing TS?
I don't know. It might just be me.
You sound fine to me.
That seems fine.
It sounds fine to me.
All right. Yeah, it's just me.
Most of these things are probably doing like a some sort of a radio serial connection, just flat out to the console. Let's see.
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail anything.
No, you're fine, but I mean, like I said, I'm worried about the broadcast box. It's probably time to build a new one, so I'm a little paranoid about problems.
The hamster is getting rather old.
Well, you know, might be time for a new one. I've actually, this is like a record for how long I've had one build of the broadcast box. This one's been going for years.
Must be a good build.
Well, at one point I was replacing it like every week. Let's see, small skies.
We haven't had problems forever.
That's true. Sorry. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna replicate the same setup I'm using now. I'm just gonna use a little bit better hardware and a fresh install. So, in a longer paper, the pair said that device makers had work to do to protect against potential system compromises that may impact patient care. Mr. Rios said all the problems he and his coworkers uncovered had been reported to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, which oversees companies that make medical devices. The separate study that quizzed manufacturers, hospitals, and health organizations about equipment they used when treating patients found that 80% said devices were hard to secure. Bugs in code, lack of knowledge about how to write secure code, and time pressures made many devices vulnerable to attack, this study suggests. Despite acknowledging these problems, only 9% of device makers and 5% of health organizations tested equipment annually for potential security vulnerabilities. Well, yeah, it's easier to claim ignorance if you don't actually test. A higher percentage of makers, 17%, took steps to secure the equipment they made. Study found that 49% of manufacturers were not using advice from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration about how to secure devices. So, basically, if you have a pacemaker, some idiot with a radio jammer might be able to kill you.
oh, God.
Yeah.
So, a lot of pacemakers, they track their data and they do broadcast it back over some sort of a, I think it's like a Bluetooth-style connection. And the thing is, a lot of these devices, they're based on the same kind of embedded devices you see in, I mean, smaller, obviously, but it's the same kind of embedded devices you see in, like, thermostats, routers, cell phones, shit like that. So, generally, when it comes to updating these devices, they don't patch the existing equipment in place or download new firmware. They just, you know, especially the cheaper ones, the manufacturers just tell you, go buy a new one. So, with a pacemaker, that's a little bit difficult because it kind of involves cracking the rib cage open.
I was thinking you get a Chinese one. Is it going to try and sync to your television?
That's what you need. Like, what happens? Game of Thrones came on and he died. I mean, just fell over dead.
Yeah, you know, like, and, you know, as things move forward, like, that's going to be a bigger and bigger concern. Like, you know, like, we're only going to have more and more implantable technology of various types. Like, look what, you know, Elon Musk or whatever, I think he's investing now in some neural fucking, like, brain implant system, pretty much.
Yeah, I read something like that. And
things that are going into your body that have, like, could have very serious implications now rely on, like, software to, remain functional, and like, so like, you gotta be damn sure that stuff is like well secured.
Well, and that's the thing, is you're taking people who are designing a medical device. It's like, it needs an electrical pulse every so often to keep your heart beating in rhythm, and it needs to monitor your heart so that it needs to know whether or not to shock you or not, and then they're attaching that to a microcontroller. And okay, anybody who's ever worked in technology knows that device level hardware or device level programming is not trivial. It's not easy. Well, hell, the amount of bad JavaScript and PHP code out there should show how hard it is to write programming on things that are trivial. So imagine doing it on a small, you know, small scale device where you've only got 4 or 8 kilobytes of RAM, and you know, you got to write it in assembler to even fit it on there. So,
oh, that's where all the Atari game makers went.
Well, that or they retired, but that, I mean, seriously though, you're not wrong, are you? You are comparing. It's a good comparison programming these micro devices a lot of times is like doing the old school consoles. They're usually 8 or 16 bit processors. They're usually, you know, some proprietary thing. It really depends on what kind of system they're using it. And a lot of times they don't, it's not like they're designing their own. They go buy them off the shelf, so they have a set of manufacturer specs that they're working with. So it could be that, you know, maybe the company has good programmers and they're trying, but the libraries that they use to build it up have problems in it. Arduino had problems when it first came out, because that's basically the same idea. You're doing low-level programming of an 8-bit chip, although I think modern ones are the 16-bit, I forget. Because I knew like the Uno and stuff like that have different stuff in it. But you know, if the libraries that they've built up the chip's development set on have problems, you're kind of fucked, aren't you?
Building a house on sand right there.
Wow, and that's probably way more common than you think.
Yeah.
And no one cares, really. Like, this is what I mean. You can't have this conversation with anyone who is not into it, because they're like, what are you talking about? The fuck?
Yeah. But, you know, like, I remember, like, you know, first, like, when I first started learning about, like, neural interfaces and all this other sci-fi stuff, you know, reading a book about it or whatever. Like, it had this, like, amazing thing, and I'm like, oh, yeah, hell yeah, I would absolutely get that. That sounds amazing. But really, like, when the reality of it actually becomes apparent and they're like, this is going to be a real thing, you start seeing all of the cracks in this beautiful image, and it's like, yeah, you know what? I probably, now that I think about it, like, really think about it, I probably wouldn't get the, you know, neural implants or the fucking head jack or whatever.
Well, probably not version one.
Well, not even that more. So, 12 years ago, I would have been, yeah, just fucking, you know, implant me. Now yeah. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stay a meat bag as long as I can.
What? You don't want cybernetic limbs that have wireless connections?
You know, it sounds cool, BSV. It really does. But I'll take my rotting organic, thanks. Yeah, hassle of just worrying, you know, whether you're going to tear your own dick off because of a servo malfunction while you're masturbating just really panics me.
So, now, to be fair, if it was like the difference between me and being dead or me being paralyzed and not paralyzed or something like that, that's a whole different story.
Well,
but like, if I am healthy, if I'm healthy and everything's working okay, I have no incentive whatsoever to get into that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it really comes down to operational security. If you're dealing with these implants, which would be, okay, I have the head jack and that's cool, but you can bet your ass I'm not jacking into a publicly connected system. If I'm connecting to the internet, it's through two or three layers of proxy and a whole bunch of shit watching that signal to make sure it cuts it if something's happening.
Or even better air gap systems. When you said you got the head jack, all I could think of was Mad Men trying to stick bubblegum in the back of it.
Don't give Mad Men ideas.
There's a future problem, future first world problems. You know, you got your kids in school, they've got their cybernetic bodies, and they're sticking bubble gum in each other's ports. Oh, that sounded dirtier than I meant.
Oh, gross. Well, you're now on a watch list.
For sure, right? I told the people to execute their bullies at work in the opening of the show. What do you mean I'm on a watch list for that one? It's like, yeah, hey, he's American, shoot people, it's fine. Oh, he made a bubble gum joke? List.
You know, in the UK that probably is some sort of hate crime.
He made a joke about bubblegum in a computer port. That monster.
Wasn't as dramatic as I thought.
I know.
It's okay though.
Yeah. It's a start, but you definitely need a better.
I really wanted like that dramatic sound. Like, I'm going to have to get some synthesizer and, like, make an organ or something. Like, dun-dun! You know, that's what I really need. So.
Maybe a woman screaming.
I think I've got a scream. Got to find it, though.
Okay, anyways. Playing with the soundboard.
But, yeah.
Welcome to the Soundboard Show.
We've done that before, I'm pretty sure. So, I think this one might be a woman screaming. Let me see what this.
Thank you, Thigh Master.
Nope, that would not be a woman screaming.
Close enough.
Okay.
If it's a fat woman, she'd be screaming.
Pretty much from this article, make sure your doctors use secured medical tools.
I need to go steal the sound clip from the intro of Doctor Strange. That had a good one in it. Anyways, let's see. So, next story is from Daily Mail. World's first RoboCop starts work in Dubai. The pictures are terrifying. The world's first RoboCop has been unveiled in Dubai and will be patrolling the streets from tomorrow onward. The 5-foot-5-inch tall robot can read facial expressions and will be used by members of the public to report crimes and pay traffic fines. Is that big of a problem in Dubai, paying your traffic fines, that they actually need automation? pretty sure a website can handle it.
But like Dubai is not at all about like, hey, what is the most efficient way of doing this?
No,
it's the most like fucking like badass impressive way we can do this. Like, isn't Dubai also the people who are like getting like jetpacks for firefighters?
Yeah, and I'm just thinking the cameras that have to be in this thing. You're going to find these robots with their heads ripped off because people are stealing the cameras out of them or the computers out of them.
I'm looking at this robot here, and it's like a humanoid torso on a mobile base. And it's got like what appears to be like fully articulated hands and arms. It looks like this weird. And it's got like this fucking like street all this guy, the who's the bad guy in Street Fighter?
Bison.
The guy with the hat, the fucking like
that's
Soviet
Bison.
Military hat. Bison? Yeah. So he's got like this Bison hat on. Like it's like full on like Soviet military style hat.
I think that's just their police hat.
Yeah, but it It's kind of crazy on the robot. Like, this really looks like something out of some sort of weird episode of Sliders or something
really
like
does,
that.
It really does,
I don't know.
But, I mean, it gets weirder. Multilingual crime-fighting robots will make up a quarter of the city's police force by 2030, according to officials. But, like, really? The RoboCop is part of the Emirates' planned robot police force and unveiled at a three-day-long Gulf Information Security and Expo conference on Sunday. The conference finishes tomorrow, at which point the RoboCop will be released onto the Dubai street to tackle real crime. How? The launch of the world's first operational RoboCop is a significant milestone for the Emirate and a step towards realizing Dubai's vision to be a global leader in smart city technology adoption, said Brigadier General Khalid Nasir Al-Razouki. I tried. Director General of the Smart Services for the Police of Dubai. Wait, Brigadier General? Is that a police rank?
It is in Dubai.
It is now. with an aim to assist and help people in the malls or on the streets, the RoboCop is the latest smart addition of the force and has been designed to help us fight crime, keep the city safe, and improve happiness levels, he said. The announcement about plans for a robot police force has made the 11 best police practices forum in Dubai. So, by 2030, we are keen to make robots around 25% of the total police force. Addressing the forum, Major General Abdullah, blah, 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 Dubai Police Commander in Chief said, we hope to achieve our... I'm saying blah, 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 because I'm not going to murder the pronunciation of his name, not to be insulting. I don't think I can say that. We hope to achieve our goals and have a smart police, as opposed to just training their officers to be smart. police robot officer has the ability to scan faces from 20 meters away and bears a touch screen on its chest, which members of the public can use to report crimes. It also has a microphone which feeds directly to the Dubai police call centers. We plan for a security system for the future of the city to tackle future crimes, he said. By 2025, Dubai will be one of the best five cities in the world on security level. He added that 50% of police buildings will be self-powered by 2030, and the police had planned to build a DNA databank. So, there's that.
Wow.
Just kind of tack that on at the end.
And coming in 2050, pre-crime.
So are the robots going to collect the DNA?
Halt, gross. Citizen.
Halt, citizen. The syringe comes out. Oh, fuck.
Although on the bright side, looking at this, I think all you have to do to get away is step up onto a curb.
Oh, no! My greatest enemy! Stairs!
The Dalek cop.
I see Laser said, the only cop you can get away from by jaywalking.
Ooh, what's his top speed?
It doesn't say. But, you know, you think about it. How would this thing be programmed to move, right? If you're running from this thing and you start moving erratically, is it software going to be able to figure this out and either predict where you're going? Or is it going to, like, just get confused and start going in circles?
What about large crowds? Could it
no, that's when crowd? The face opens up and a taser shoots out.
Yeah, crowds could be... What about laser pointers in the eyes? I mean, it's got these cameras right in the eyes of the robot, you know, where they would be. Laser pointers dazzle cameras. If you just, like, took a laser with an adjustable lens on it, so you got a big spotlight instead of just a...
There you go again, Morps. You're thinking way too high-tech, dude. A pillowcase.
Yeah, you just sneak up behind it. Pillowcase.
Spray paint. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, Aryu's totally got it right, because, you know, I was thinking, too, I'm like, oh, yeah, what if a guy could, like, build an EMP? Are they EMP shielded? But, like, really? Really? Yeah, pillowcase. You
pillowcase and a hammer. You're right.
Hey, a handful of petroleum jelly across the face. Take that, robot.
Brigadier General, whatever your name was again, Abdullah, they've tagged the robots again, sir. Or that, or you have Ghost in the Shell, somebody hacking the robot police to start, like, detaining people in their homes and shit.
Dude, you smear it with petroleum jelly, the crowd just looks 30% more sexy now.
Oh, shit. Alright, let's do this one. Next one's from the Register. And it's not nearly as much fun as making fun of really bad robots. It's like that YouTube channel, Shitty Robots, where, like, you know, the chick builds robots that, like, smack her in the face and shit.
Yeah, I need links to that.
Hang on. You haven't seen
that? For later.
No, but you may have just replaced YouPorn for me.
Let's see. Yeah, here it is. The Shitty Robot Queen. Throw that in there, and we'll throw that in there. There you go. Yeah, she had some interesting ones. Her early ones are like plastic hands. Looks like she's not doing as many as she used to do.
She's tested now.
Oh. Like, I like the one where she had the robot hands just, like, smacking her in the face to wake her up in the morning. Yeah. So.
Looks like she actually has a sense of humor, too.
Oh, yeah.
I made a butt wiping
machine. But her robots
machine.
Really suck.
I'm not. I don't know that I want to click on that link. I'm afraid. So we'll watch. We'll deal with these later after the show. We're supposed to be doing a show right now. Okay, Venezuela. Right, Venezuela is increasingly censoring its internet. And see, they're not allowed to go see the Shitty Robot Queen. Venezuela is increasingly censoring its internet and expanding online surveillance of citizens. The country is currently in a state of emergency after 2 months of anti-government protests that have caused the deaths of over 50 people and led to violent confrontations with the police. Citizens are furious with President. Oh, God. Nicolas Maduro, who has been using emergency powers since 2015 to pass laws without congressional approval. He claims to be using the powers to fight an economic war with unseen enemies, but taxes on alcohol and tobacco alongside the collapsing economy have turned people against him. Well, you know, when you're shadow boxing you know, ghosts with the government. That's kind of the anger that is translated into protests, and the government responded by trying to shut it down. Although phone ownership has rocketed in Venezuela in the past few years, roughly a third of the population still does not have an internet connection or a smartphone and rely on television for their news. So the government responded to footage of the protests by shutting down or censoring television stations that broadcast it, as well as harassing and arresting journalists. When citizens started using SMS messages to share information and coordinate protests, President Morado personally ordered an investigation into phone company Movistar, claiming it was assisting opposition to the government. When protesters then moved to online TV stations, Venezuelan government responded by censoring them. Vivo Play, El Capitolo TV, and VIPTV, maybe? I don't know. VPITV.com have all been blocked at the DNS level, sparking letters of protest to the National Telecom Commission, Conatel, and demands for an investigation. Other websites have reported denial of service attacks. It is unclear what legal justification for the blocks is being used, and the situation led the United Nations Human Rights Commission issuing a statement condemning the censorship and blocking of information both in traditional media and on the internet. So they're just censoring it so they can, you know, like, ignore the protests. Earlier this week, Morado unveiled his plan to draw up a new constitution for the country, something critics say is no more than an effort to lay elections and stay in power. So, pretty much, yeah, they've been using Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, WhatsApp, and so they're just trying to lock down the internet more and more in Venezuela right now.
Okay, considering the capital has been on rolling water supplies for 4 or 5 years now, because they sold their water to mining companies. They have no rights to their own oil anymore because Hugo Chavez sold all that off. Crippling food shortages, border controls to where you can't bring food in from other countries. Yeah, that's the least of their problems, censoring the internet right now.
No sound effects on that one because it's actually a fairly serious story.
You want to see socialism gone wrong? Yeah, just have a look at that country.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like there's a little bit more to it than socialism.
No, it's pretty much the whole country's wealth has been stolen.
The traditional argument against socialism is that you eventually run out of other people's money, which I think is what's happened in Venezuela.
No, I think socialism can be done right as long as it's done hand-in-hand with capitalism. But pure socialism in the way that it was set up there is was a cut under the nose, man. It just kept bleeding. And only certain people made a lot of money. But crippling drought, deforestation, mining without permits, things like that have contributed to what is breaking down in that country.
Well, what's really sad is those protests are getting violent, and because it's so censored, what's going on down there most people don't know about.
The government was handing out firearms to pro-government protesters to go up against anti-government protesters.
Yeah, that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, the death toll of 50, I think, is very underrated.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're definitely bad stuff.
You're right, Major. Saying socialism was the problem is the wrong way of putting it. There's a lot more underlying issues.
It's definitely a contributing factor. The problem is though that they had the same problem a lot of socialist countries do, is that the people in charge didn't give a fuck about the people under them.
There you go.
I mean, you're right. You might be able to make socialism work with the people in charge who care about it, but you get corrupt leadership, like that's so
I'd say that's
often.
Like a problem in like pretty much any setup you've got. If the people in charge don't care about the people, you're going to have problems.
Yeah.
Regardless of your system.
That's fair. So, next up is from Ars Technica. 14 people who say their names and addresses were attached to anti-net neutrality comments without their permission have asked the Federal Communications System to notify, or Communications Commission, to notify other victims of the impersonation and remove fraudulent comments from the net neutrality docket. This is what you and I were talking about last week, Swab, with people bots on the FCC commentary or FCC comment thing. As we've reported previously, there have been hundreds of thousands of identical comments that were obstinately submitted to the FCC by ordinary people who hate the current net neutrality rules. But comments appear to have been submitted by spam bots and attached to names drawn from data breaches. People who say they were impersonated sent a letter to the FCC chairman, Ajit Pai. In it, they wrote the following: "We are disturbed by reports that indicate you have no plans to remove these fraudulent comments from the public docket. Whoever is behind this stole our names and addresses, publicly exposed our private information without our permission, and used our identities to file a political statement we did not sign on to. Hundreds of thousands of other Americans may have been victimized too."
Victimized, eh?
That's the word they used.
Victimized or the victims of?
Other Americans may have been victimized too.
Okay.
That's the statement. I'm not arguing grammatical correctness.
I've got to get my English to bullshit language dictionary out.
So, let's see. Net Neutrality Activists Group Fight for the Future coordinated the letter. They also set up the Comcastro Turf website that makes it easy to search the FCC net neutrality docket for your name. While it may be convenient for you to ignore this, given that it was done in an attempt to support your position, it cannot be the case that the FCC moves forward on such a major public debate without properly investigating this known attack, the letter to Pi also said. The letter asked Pi to take the following actions: notify all users who have been impacted by the attack. Well, how would they know whether somebody's name was stolen or not? I mean, I guess if they're part of the identical comment spam, but remove all of the fraudulent comments, including the ones made in our names, from public documents immediately. Again, how do you know whether or not they were legitimately for it or against it or just the spots? There are problems with what they're asking.
You know, I feel like the direction of this, where they're like trying to use this to stop them from passing the, or from, you know, disabling net neutrality, I feel like that's kind of a weak argument. I think there's a lot better arguments that one might make for keeping net neutrality and having some bogus comments on a website somewhere that they're not even like using to make any legislation. It's another one of those things like, you know, what is it, whitehouse.gov, where you get to go do your petitions.
No, the request for comments is an official thing.
Well, yeah, I know it's an official thing. But you don't think that they've already made up their minds about this sort of stuff? Do you think anybody says on there is going to impact any decisions they're going to make?
Well, probably not, because the internet has blamed the hell out of it, so they're probably just going to ignore it. Because really, that forum was meant for, you know, the whole request for comment thing from the FCC and the FTC was supposed to be from people in the industry who knew about a subject, to make comments about what they expect this regulation may or may not do as an impact, so that they could help the regulators judge if this was really a move they wanted to make or not. And, you know, of course, it's been turned into this, you know, political slam board. But, you know, because you got a lot of people throwing political opinions out there who don't actually understand these rules. So let's throw a little gas on the fire here. Net neutrality in the United States was never implemented. I realize they passed the law 2 years ago, but it was never actually implemented. It was only on the books. It was never enforced. So all this stuff about ditching net neutrality, it's never been a thing. It's not been in existence. So all these people who are losing their mind, you realize you're arguing against the status quo, right? I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. I'm just saying, try to understand your argument a little bit better than, they're going to take my Facebook away, because that's not good. What's going to happen here.
Good. Go maybe ahead, you'll think less about suicide.
Were you wanting to get in there, Suave? I saw your thing light up.
No.
You can disagree with me. I'm just wanting to point this out, because a lot of people don't seem to understand that. And what they're and the net neutrality rules that were implemented are not true net neutrality. True net neutrality is your ISP is a dumb pipe; all bits are treated equally. For one thing, that's probably not the best way to manage a network, especially if you are doing some, say, high priority service that needs prioritization on the network.
Yeah, but like, you know, it's one thing to have like a system set up that handles like the, let's say, top 10% of websites where they cache the data locally so they don't have to transmit as much. That's one thing, because they're not like singling out specific companies or charging for priority or anything.
Sure.
But once you start actually doing that, that to me, that's causing problems. Like here in Canada, we have laws that protect that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I know that it was like the way they tried to implement net neutrality in the States, I feel like was kind of the wrong way. Like they were just trying to reclassify the internet when they should have just made a specific law protecting. Yeah.
You're right, because and that's been my problem with the net neutrality rules that were passed, is they were more about what you can and can't regulate and fair play and this and that, as opposed to, you know, how are we managing the networks? Are we treating bits equally? And I don't think the idea of paying for prioritization is a bad idea. I really don't. Because what if you're running some kind of a medical service, or like one of those remote surgery bots, which people have talked about, or you know, some other important thing. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what
for sure, but
are.
Like, there's got to be some other protections too. Because let's say somebody makes a website that criticizes their ISP, and like if there's no protections there, the ISP could just go and block that website for all of their customers.
Right, and I disagree with that, like, because it's a free speech issue.
Absolutely.
You're right. Yeah, they should not be able to block somebody.
There needs to be some protections there.
They should not be playing editorial. The only reason you should be blocking websites is if they're malicious, like there's an actual security issue there, like you're going to get malware going there kind of thing. That's okay, but I need the real definition. You know, it needs to be real. It needs to be like, oh, yeah, that website's like hosting like highly illegal content, you know, kiddie porn. Or it's got, you know, some horrible virus on it that's taking out medical center, like WannaCry. It's distributing WannaCry. Okay, that's fine. I'm okay with the ISP blocking those, because that's less of a speech issue. That's more of a safety issue, right? So that's okay, and it should be something along the lines of, we block this website because of malware. You know, and you should just, you know, if you get there and it's blocked, it should be, you know, stated why it's blocked, and it shouldn't be a question, and you should be even be able to dispute it if you feel like that you've corrected the issue with whatever was on the site, or like if it got hacked and it had malware on. Okay. But really, the ISP, the net neutrality thing we saw the argument for a couple of years ago was the whole, well, Comcast wants to charge Netflix more to host Netflix's content. That's kind of bullshit. And I think the issue there was that, yeah, Comcast was starting to try to play editor. They wanted to, you know, control the content back and forth, and that's not cool. So I don't know exactly how to word up what I would want, but I feel like it needs to be stated that this whole net neutrality thing is not well understood by the people screaming about it on the internet.
I don't think it's well understood about the people trying to write the laws.
That's a fair point. So, but, you know, of course, this group's coming in saying, anything that was fake, you have to drop. Well, how do you define what was fake? Well, it disagreed with our opinion. Wait, what? So, I mean, you know, it gets out of hand fairly quickly, because it's all politics at the end of the day.
Fuck the politics, is money.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
So, but it is interesting starting to see all this stuff about the DDoS attacks and the spam bots and all this request for comment stuff. And, you know, truly, that's not – the whole request for comment thing process was originally in play for people in the industry to comment on it. And I guess if you're, you know, on the internet a lot, I guess you could argue you're in the industry of it. So anyways, let's just a quick hit on the last one here. I did a story like this in the past, after the last time we saw a major ransomware attack, where Bitcoin has jumped more than 12% Thursday to an all-time height of $2,791 per Bitcoin before plunging and giving up on the day's gains. The rise, based on the strong demand out of Asia, has brought for its gains in the months of May more than 100%, according to CoinDesk. The digital currency's volatility became apparent later in the session when it suddenly sank by more than 315 to trade lower. It's like 1999 right now, said Brock Pierce, managing partner of Blockchain Capital. we may have seen a similar outcome. We see could see a big correction here. So, yeah, Bitcoin has been up and down, and I honestly believe that's because of WannaCry right now. You've got that and other ransomware demanding people buy Bitcoin. I've done the exact same, you know, we've done this story with the same theory before after the last time we saw big ransomware going around, which was all this malware driving up the cost of Bitcoin.
Bitcoin does kind of go through it appears to go through a cycle anyways. I wouldn't claim to be able to predict it or anything, but like it does appear to, like, you know, you'll see some news articles about it. It'll start building up hype. The bunch of people start wanting Bitcoin and buying it. The price starts going like vertical, and like there's super lots of hype, and then like something happens, like a trader will crash or something like that, and everybody panics, and then somebody starts selling, and then the price drops out, and then all these people who are speculating, they start selling because they don't want to lose their money, and it just snowballs and it drops out. And then, like, it'll do a slow build again, and then it'll start picking up its steam, and it'll cycle through again.
Man, I wish you could predict that, because...
Oh, I know, but, like, I've been waiting, because it's been going up to, like, extreme levels. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's going to drop out here again here soon.
Well, if you could predict that, you'd be able to predict the stock market. It's the same thing.
That's true.
It's not a currency, it's a...
Swab, if you figure out how to predict that, let me know. We've got some scripting to write.
A few years ago, back when it was like, I don't know, between 150 and like 800 bucks, I went and like got a Bitcoin to try to do like the day trading sort of thing. You know, because like sometimes it would fluctuate in value by like 30% in a day. Like that's a huge amount. So I totally tried that. And the amount of stress and like... effort of watching it, and it could change in like a second, and like if you can't get in to like go sell or whatever, it was no fun. And well, like also I made lots of really bad calls because I got I was emotionally invested, and I totally lost that.
Hey, there's a reason day traders do a lot of cocaine and alcohol. It's to take the care factor out of it. As long as you don't care about it, fucking old days a good day trading. Oh yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I wish I could if we could do a fairly decent job of predicting it, you know, imagine, you know, some little Python scripting and man, what's that machine doing in the corner? It makes money. Yeah, Psychros, I when Ethereum was $10 a couple of months ago, I had like, I think I bought like a Ethereum, and I ended up swapping it out for Bitcoin because it looked like nothing was going to happen with Ethereum, and then, you know, you look at it now and it's just like, son of a bitch. So anyways, because I remember when Ethereum went from being worth like nothing up to $10 and everybody was losing their mind about that.
Dogecoin worth now?
0.003 of a dollar or something like that.
Oh, damn, it's gone still up.
I'm still not rich. Damn it.
Yeah, you're 5 Dogecoin there. So, all right, let's do this. Yo! Hadouken! All right, so I've got two things for Digital Dojo tonight. They're both related to WannaCry. The first is called WannaKiwi. And sorry, are you?
No, hey, fucking call me a Kiwi, you cocksucker.
I didn't call you that. I'm just apologizing for the horrible nightmares it might impose for you. So pretty much with WannaCry, yes, the malware does delete the key after it's encrypted the files. But if you have not rebooted the system, the seeds used to generate the key are still in memory. So the prime numbers it uses. So what this script will do is it will extract those prime values from memory, and pretty much this works definitely for Windows XP, Windows 2003, and Windows 7 on x86. They haven't tried it on 64-bit or anything else yet, but it'll go through memory and try to get those primes back and see if it can start unencrypting your files. Couple of things here. if the machine's been rebooted since you were originally infected with WannaCry, it will not work. But if the machine's just been like on, or you like let it go to sleep, so it hasn't actually cleared memory, this tool might work for you. So, you know, if your files were encrypted a couple of days ago and you turned the machine off since then, yeah, you're kind of fucked. But if you just now had it pop up, you might be able to use this tool to get your files back. Because it'll try to pull the prime space out of memory. But
that's cool.
Yeah.
Good luck.
It's pretty rough if your files get encrypted with this thing, but you know, this at least gives you a shot at getting your data back. Honestly, the only true way to make sure that, you know, you get your data back, have a backup. Build a server, you know, buy one of the cloud services, although I don't really recommend those. Set up a little NAS, get a USB hard disk and just dump things onto it every once in a while, unplug it and throw it in the corner when you're not using it. So if your machine gets... Honestly, I tell people to do it that way so that if their machine gets hit by lightning, but, you know, the ransomware, it's pretty effective for it too, because they can't... Your ransomware on your machine cannot encrypt a drive that it's not connected to. So the best way to do it, if you don't want to do anything crazy complicated, and you remember to do it, is, you know, you get yourself a nice big, you know, say 4-10 terabyte hard drive, whatever you need, external. You hook it up to your machine once, you know, once every couple of weeks, once a month, whatever's appropriate for you. You back up your shit, and then you unplug it and put it back on the shelf. That way, if your machine's hit by lightning, it's stolen by, you know, aliens or time immigrants, or, you know, the zombies attack, whatever, you've got your data. And it's just on an unconnected drive if you're not using it.
Damn, time immigrants?
I don't
keep
know.
Keep the external hard drive at, like, family member's place. That way if your house burns down or you get burglarized or something.
Yeah, that'll work.
Get a whole new people to hate on now.
Time immigrants? Yeah, people from the future would say the past was better.
I'll go back to 1990.
I may have been reading webcomics lately. Anyways. Well, you know, the other thing you could do, Blu-ray burners have gotten really cheap now, and Blu-ray discs aren't that expensive. I think I spent $30 for a spindle of Blu-rays, and those things hold, you know, like 30 gig.
Yeah, but does Blu-ray get CD rust?
Oh, it might. So you need to pack it in, like, you know, guys. So the way you seal it up, if you want to do it ghetto method, is you get to... get some freezer bags, you throw the discs in the freezer bag with a pack of desiccant, and then take a lighter and heat up, like, I don't know, a piece of wire or something. You can pretty much seal that bag fairly permanently to keep moisture out of it. Food saver, yeah, that'd work, Laser, you're right. Well, hell, space bags if you're wanting to be crazy. I mean, just something to keep the moisture out, right? You seal it up correctly, you can then mail it off to, you know, mail it to your parents, mail it off to a relative's house, put it in a bank safety deposit box. Now that is one thing about burning discs, is it's fairly permanent. So, of course, you know, if you're burning 30 gig on a disc for a Blu-ray, it might take a while.
Like, from what I understand, the lifespan on a disc isn't all that long.
Really? I thought they were good for like 30 years.
Yeah, I thought it was more like only 10 or something.
Oh, really?
I'll look it up now.
That was sort of what I was sort of thinking of as well.
Like, I've noticed that with CDs anyways. Like, I remember, like, I've got all kinds of CDs that I've burned. And, like, you know, it's been 20 years now, but I've tried them years and years ago, and a lot of them had just stopped working.
But the problem I had
scratched
with a lot
up
of...
or anything like that. It's just, yeah, they just stopped.
So the problem I had with a lot of the CDRs I burned back in high school is because, unlike a real disc, a stamped CD, which has plastic on both sides of the foil, most CDRs, the foil was stamped on one side of the plastic and the label kind of printed over the top of it. Yeah. So if you scratched the label, you scratched it just as, you know, it ruined the underside of the disc too.
Yeah, for sure.
So what I would find a lot of times is that, you know, because I burned so many discs it wasn't worth keeping them in jewel cases or putting them in binders, so they would go right back on the spindles after I'd burned all the discs, right? Well, turns out that didn't work quite so well.
I had the same problem, Morps.
You'll find a lot of discs with these little micro scratches through those labels. And it's just like, well, that disc's
fucked. A tiny little bit of grit's got in between there.
Yeah, I mean, you've moved it several times between now and then, causing all the discs to spin on that spindle.
Mm-hmm.
So I am reading here that Blu-rays are supposed to last quite a bit longer than CDs.
I thought it was a fairly amount of time.
Yeah, so like CDs and DVDs were ranged, yeah, for about 30 years, and they're claiming Blu-rays 100 up to 150 years.
Well, okay,
so, you know, I'd say cut that in half.
Yeah.
At least. So let's say, you know, 15 years to versus 50 years.
You know, of course, the problem you have is if 15 years from now you're trying to recover data from one of these discs, finding a disc drive might be an issue. Yeah.
And finding an operating system that'll work on.
Yeah, that's true.
But if you're really in doubt, reel-to-reel, kids.
There you go. Well, you know, hard drives themselves are pretty cheap. Just plug a hard drive up to your system, dump it off, pack that in desiccant, and
learn binary, get yourself a stone and a chisel.
Yeah, you don't have to go back that far. Just get punch cards.
Dude, you can get a tattoo gun from Amazon.
Ouch. What are you backing your data on? I tattooed it on the pigs. Wait, what?
That's what I was thinking. Pig skin the wall, man. Like, you're gonna have a creepy look.
How much data could a human body hold?
Depends on how fine of a needle you have on the tattoo gun.
How fat's the person? If it's a dude from, like, my 600-pound life, fucking hell, we get a lot of data there.
Yes, so. But if they keep growing, you're going to get a bunch of corrupted data with Stretch.
Data Stretch. Seriously, Data Stretch, wow.
Here's your homework, Billy. Mom got fat overnight.
Just for the last link I have for Dojo, it's an Imgur album of all these public screens infected with WannaCry because I found it hilarious. Anyways, you got like airports and you know, it's digital signage and hospital machines, all kinds of stuff. But so I was seriously considered briefly, but seriously considered it wouldn't be that hard, as given some of the hardware out there, to get a Commodore 64. Tape drive, you know, the ones that use cassette tapes, and one of those USB to you'd have to use USB to parallel them parallel to the Commodore data port, serial port, but I mean, you don't want to call it a serial point, it would confuse people, and actually back up your data by piping it through to audio tape.
Dude, did you see the picture of Saudi telecommunications? How many fucking things do they have on the icons they have on the desktop? My God, you filthy, filthy animals.
Which one are you talking about?
Saudi telecom company, STC, about a little ways down.
STC, Saudi telecom company, STC.
Yeah, it's a dude taking a photo of a photo with a camera.
Yeah, ransomware, virus strike, STC. Oops, your files have been encrypted. Yeah, he does have a lot of shit on his desktop, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know, I'm scrolling through all of these. And so far, I've only seen three different Bitcoin addresses.
My favorite's the ATMs.
Yeah,
that's pretty bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm looking at a lot of useless shit on people's desktops.
I like the picture of the Ubuntu machine with the WannaCry screenshot on it. They did figure out it would run in Wine. So... Anyways, wow. That's all I really have for tonight. Anybody else wanting to come up with interesting data backup strategies? I think that's a fun conversation. So that, and if you really were backing it up in audio tape, dude, nobody's going to be able to figure out your backup methods.
No, man, I'm already ordering a tattoo gun as we speak.
They're locking down the internet and shit for terrorism right now, right? Like, communications and things like that. What's to stop them going back to snail mail?
Nothing.
Yeah. Point. Did you see the article out of the UK? I think it was the Mail, Daily Mail. They want to shut the UK out of the internet altogether and have, like, a licensing system to leave the country to look it up. Yeah, it was a pretty poorly written article. Just any thoughts on that? I don't think it's possible to start with. But...
good luck.
Yeah. But they were talking about having like a television license. You know, they still have those.
So the internet, one of the original fundamental designs of the internet was to route around damaged links, and censorship is treated as a damaged link. So ultimately, I mean, if somebody's going to put up a proxy somewhere, and they're not going to be able to stop them all.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. I mean,
stop the majority.
That's true.
But then you're narrowing your data points down to who might be doing demon shit, you know what I mean? If you're not doing anything wrong, why would you be worried about having three government, you know, authorities in your room?
Maybe I just don't like the camera staring at me when I take a shit.
You want to have a bet that's the next move?
But
we're just going to put this camera in the living room that we can monitor every now and then to make sure you're not beating your wife. It's under our new council initiative of, you know, home safety for women.
Well, time to stop worrying about taking care of my body and walking around the house naked all the time. If they're going to spy on me all the time, I'm going to make them fucking pay for it.
My wife said to me, why do you have to dress so shitty all the time? I said, look, social contract is that I have to wear clothes. That's as much effort as I'm putting in.
Anyways, that's all I have for tonight. Always listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking is every Thursday. Again, I try to do it about 9-ish Central Time. You know, hop in the IRC, throw links at me, make fun of us on the show, whatever.
I'd just like to thank you for having it black now, Morps.
Yeah, I thought you would like that.
It's so much easier on my wee eyes.
So I actually want to redesign the site. I've got this idea for like an interface, but I'm not quite sure how I want to do it and if I want to...
as long as it's nice and dark, dude.
Yeah, you know, I like the dark because it makes it just your screen doesn't glare on your eyes quite so damn much. Anybody who spends enough time staring at a computer screen really starts to appreciate the soft colors on a dark screen. Like,
yes.
The default color schemes for a lot of the high-end IDEs and text editors, dude. Oh, after a while, man. I tell you what, black text on a white background just hurts.
And hell. If I want retina damage, I'll go outside.
Anyways, of course, the Galaxy 15 radio site, the feedback on the subreddit is probably the best way to do that. You know, I did forget to look for comments on the subreddit this morning. I have been busy, so... sorry about that. Let's see if there's any feedback that was worth touching on. Nope. All right, cool. You throw feedback in the subreddit on the... when Trinary Bits is pretty good about used to getting the shows posted, unless I fuck it up and then I gotta go post them. But, 260 and 261, because if you remember several weeks ago, I had a problem. We had to stop the recording midstream. well... I didn't clean up my folder very well in the process I used. For 260 was like the first half of 259, and then 261 was the second half of 259.
Hey, you see now, some like regular listener who doesn't tune in, just sit down and has a couple of bongs, you know, and puts on some music, decides to listen to Pure Deck, and he's like, the fuck, huh? What? Shit. I can hear time.
That's right, Doug. We're talking to you.
Yeah, Doug.
I don't know anybody named Doug, but Doug. I figure if there was some pot smoker named Doug listening to the show, they'd just shit themselves. So,
give us 10 Bitcoin, Doug. Or we're coming to get you, Doug.
We are the people who live in your computer, and yes, we can see you.
They are the ones that live in your computer. I'm under your bed, Doug.
All right. Anybody? BSV,
we've
close
done that
thoughts.
Bit.
Oh, do we?
Doug needs to clean up underneath his bed.
It's dirty under there. Clean up, Doug. Are you? Closing thoughts.
Sorry, I was bad flashback of a dude who likes to pick hair out of drains and eat it.
Oh.
The fuck?
I've been watching a lot of weird shit, all right?
Squaw, future news. I mean, closing thoughts. I'm sorry, that's your thing. I forgot.
If you're really into the long-term data storage, I recommend an M-disk, lifespan of 1,000 years.
M-disk? Wow.
Do you plan on being alive 1,000 years from now to recover that data? I'm just curious.
Oh, absolutely.
No, but my great-great-great-grandkids are going to love my porn collection.
All right. That's all I got.
The ladies were all human, Billy.
Look at that. No artificial parts on that one. All right. The fuck? Try that again.
Thank you, Thymaster.